Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. About Charlotte. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast about Charlotte.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Charlotte Podcast. This is John.
And this is Miller in this episode 155. John, let's get in it. What is on today's episode?
This week, we are talking to Planned Parenthood of the South Atlantic.
That seems like a hot topic.
It is. Nationally, certainly. And then we talk a little bit more about what they do in Charlotte and the services they provide, stuff like that.
Right.
Then, today is MLK Day.
It is.
So
people probably won't be listening to it on MLK Day because I'm lazy and won't edit it.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
Good point. Just want to call that out.
You know, we should celebrate Martin Luther
King. We should. And so we'll do that with this week's history. Talk a little bit of MLK and CLT. And then we end, as we always do, with supportive words from Supportive Guy.
If you want to listen to us or tell people to listen to us, you can listen on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. If you're on social media, find us on Twitter and Instagram at CLT Podcast or search for us on Facebook. If you want to send us emails, we do get those occasionally. I check them every day when they're there. You can email us at thecharlottepodcast@gmail.com. And we're also a part of the Queen City Podcast Network. John, do you notice how I always mention emails?
Yeah.
Something I want to do with email is we had somebody on DM us on Instagram.
Yeah.
A new logo.
Oh.
And what I want to open up, John, this is I have written to talk to you about a logo contest.
Okay.
This is the first time I've talked to you about it.
Yeah.
We have had this logo for 155 episodes.
Yes.
I made literally a C and a P in the Hornets colors.
Yep.
Are you willing, if someone submits a sweet logo, that we still our favorite one, we select it and use a new logo?
100%, yes.
So all people have to do, we'll do it for a couple weeks, is send us a logo. It has to be essentially fit into a circle. I need it to be a JPEG with a white background, preferably.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Just make it a JPEG. It needs to work in a circle or a square. Just, I don't care. You
all
guys
I
are
know
artists.
Is that it's pronounced GIF. So.
Yes. thanks, John. That has nothing to do with it. And you can email us those at thecharlottepodcast@gmail.com. We are serious about this. We will redo the logo if you make us a good one.
Yes, exactly.
For free. I mean, this is a contest. We'll give you all the credit possible.
Yeah.
So, John.
Yeah.
That's all the housekeeping we have. Let's go ahead and get into
it. Nice. Getting right into it. So this week, we will talk to Marcy Sheely and Dr. Stephanie Jones of Planned Parenthood of the South Atlantic.
All right. We are here with two members of Planned Parenthood South Atlantic, Dr. Stephanie Jones, FNP, and Marcy Sheely, Director of Philanthropy. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you
for having us.
So we'll start this interview, as we do with all of them, finding out what you guys' relationship is with the city of Charlotte. So we will move left to right from how we are sitting. So we'll start with you, Stephanie. How'd you come to be in Charlotte?
Well, in 2014, I graduated with my master's degree to be a nurse practitioner.
From where?
From the University of Phoenix.
Okay.
I was living in Phoenix, Arizona at the time. So I was looking for a fellowship to do. I didn't want to go right into a career. I wanted to do 1 year of postgraduate training.
Okay.
So I was looking all around, and I found the fellowship here in Charlotte at Atrium Health. They do a 1 year postgraduate fellowship for NPs and PAs. And so I applied. I got accepted. Never been here before.
Yeah.
Moved down here. Was only going to stay for a year, but here I am.
Where is the first place you ate out?
Oh, Five Church downtown.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, started out very high.
Yeah.
Did you read The Art of War written on the ceiling?
I was fascinated by their artwork and the ceiling. Yeah. It was awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's better than the old, like, weird Scottish bourbon place that was there. Or a Scotch place, I guess, that was there before. Anywho.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Great start, John. What about you, Marcy? What's your story with Charlotte?
I came to Charlotte in 1988, and I've been here... Well, I went back to New York for 2 years, but other than that, I've been here and I've raised a family here.
Wow.
And I love Charlotte.
Where are you from originally?
Buffalo.
Oh, really? Okay.
The weather's much better here.
Yeah, there's plenty of Buffalonians?
Buffalonians.
Buffalonians
a lot of
here
Buffalo
as well.
Bills
so you must
fans.
Feel at home, yeah, in Charlotte.
So when you went back to New York for those 2 years, like, did you feel like, did your bones all, like, had they weakened from the Carolina winter?
Yes, I was cold.
You're like, I can't handle this anymore.
I can't go back anymore.
So we are here to learn more about Planned Parenthood and what it offers for the Charlotte area. First, I want to start off, Marcy, if you can kind of take us what kind of background of how long Planned Parenthood has been in the area and what kind of broad services you guys offer.
So Planned Parenthood is a 100-year-old organization, but started in Charlotte 47 years ago. A woman by the name of Sarah Bryant, who is still here with us, she's in her 90s, started Planned Parenthood. She saw a need for reproductive health, and she decided to open a Planned Parenthood here. And she went to all the businessmen in town who were running the banks and the energy companies and asked them to join her on this endeavor, and they did, and the community came together and created a Planned Parenthood. Sarah actually started it with a red telephone on her home on Wendover Road, and if you looked up Planned Parenthood in the phone book, you got Sarah's home phone.
Wow. That's incredible. So Planned Parenthood, kind of what are the general services you would, like, kind of in an elevator, someone said, what does a Planned Parenthood offer? What services would
you
say?
So we offer essential health care, all reproductive health care, STI testing, well visits, breast exams, anything you could think of that you would go for a well visit. And that's what we focus on. And we serve men and women. And I think a lot of people are very surprised, but 12% of our patients here in Charlotte are men, which a lot of people don't expect us to do.
Did not know that at all.
I had no idea.
We take all types of insurance, including Medicaid. And we also see people that do not have insurance, and they can cash pay. We have prompt pay discounts. We see undocumented people, where a lot of times hospitals will not see people without documentation. We do. We have translation services. We have full-time Spanish-speaking staff. And we also have access to lots of other languages at the touch of a phone.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Stephanie Jones, I'm saying doctor because
I love
congratulations.
Thank you.
And, that's exciting. You told us just before we started, you just got the doctor.
Yes,
so
in December.
We're going to call you that as much as possible.
I love it. Yeah. It's still hard for me to get used to, but.
Is it easier to get used to the doctor, or you have a new last name as well?
It's like both of them. I'm like, wait, what's my name again?
This person?
What's my title? Like, who am I again?
So you are kind of more day-to-day clinician. If you had a friend sit down and say you work for Planned Parenthood, kind of what is your role? What do you do? How would you kind of describe that?
Yeah, so I'm the primary clinician in the Charlotte Clinic. I work there during the week. I see, like I said, all kinds of patients, men, women, teens, women in their 60s, wide variety of patients. We do everything from birth control visits, STI testing and treatment. We see transgender patients and provide their hormones to them. Well woman exams, cervical cancer screening, breast exams, like she said. We provide PrEP and PEP services for patients in Charlotte. So we offer quite a few services for people in Charlotte.
Wow. So how did you get hooked up with this particular role? I'm interested in that journey. When we last left you, you were at your fellowship.
So to be honest, I was a patient of Planned Parenthood when I was 18 years old. I started out college. I needed birth control. I didn't know where to go. I didn't want to talk to my parents about it. So, I found out through Planned Parenthood through my university where I grew up. And so that's how I first got introduced to it. And I'm so thankful for the services that they provided for me at that time. Fast forward to when I was going to NP school, I needed a place to do clinicals for women's health. And Planned Parenthood opened their doors to me, and I was able to do all my women's health training through them. And so they've helped me out a lot. And then when I fast forward to here in Charlotte, when I was completing my fellowship, I was like, okay, now what? What am I going to do for a job? And as I was job searching, I saw the position was open at Planned Parenthood here in Charlotte. And I just knew I had to apply. It just immediately called to me.
That's great. So how long have you been in the role?
It'll be 4 years in April.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you've been doing it for a while. Yeah. That's great. Yep. So what is something that 4 years in kind of surprises you day to day relative to when you started?
I think when you think of Planned Parenthood, you think, the people we serve are the underserved or people in poverty, but we actually provide well woman exams for women in their 40s, women in their 50s, women with insurance. I didn't realize Planned Parenthood saw transgender patients. We started doing that here in the Charlotte office. So just the variety of patients that we have and the variety of services that we offer is just really, I think, really great for this city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Marcy, how long have you been with Planned Parenthood?
I've been with Planned Parenthood 7 years, and okay. I did not start out in development, okay. So it was new to me, but Planned Parenthood is a passion to me as well. I started going to Planned Parenthood when I was 16, and I went through college and after college, and it was always my primary care service until later in life. And my daughter goes to Planned Parenthood, and I recommend it to anybody. It's a wonderful service that we offer, and it is nationwide. So you know if you go to a Planned Parenthood that you're going to get the care you need.
So you now do fundraising. There's something we're going to mention at the end. You remember when I said we want to talk about? Just not mention that. What are other things other than that that kind of people can know about? I'm saving the big plug for the end.
That they can know about Planned Parenthood?
Like, no, in terms of fundraising, things you do in your role.
Oh, well, what I do in my role is I talk to anybody, including yourselves, community leaders, about what
do
we
do.
Do
not call us community leaders.
Yeah, no. Community leaders and then us.
Yeah, about 50 episodes, someone called us journalists.
Talk to all people about spreading the word about the good that Planned Parenthood does. Because besides our health services, we also offer education services that are free to the community. And I think many people don't understand that is part of our service. So, and the primary part of our service is educating people about reproductive health. And we have a full-time educator here in Charlotte who works with community education services, schools, after-school programs, churches, any group that invites her in. She does free programs. She's got her master's in public health. She focuses on healthy behavior, focuses on reproductive health. She focuses on just taking care of yourself and how to understand the reproductive health system and communicate it, because kids talk to kids more than they talk to their parents. So that's what she does.
Now, Marcy, you mentioned something, and Dr. Stephanie Jones, I want you to hop in on this as well. But you said there's a lot of misconceptions, or people may not know the full realm of services. And you've already, I didn't know men could go. What are the top 10 list of things that people may not know about Planned Parenthood?
I think they don't know that we offer education services, and our primary resource is to make sure that everybody's aware of their own self and their own reproductive health system.
Gotcha.
That's one.
What about you?
Transgender services is a newer service that we offer, and I don't think people are aware of that. So we do hormone therapy for both masculizing and feminizing hormone therapy for patients, and so that's been really eye-opening, the amount of patients we've seen for that, and those services are available.
Nice.
I also think people don't know that, as you said, they don't know that we serve men. They don't know that we serve undocumented people. Mm-hmm. They don't know that we take insurance, which is what we do. Those are my top.
Yeah, that's great.
So what, so you're out fundraising in the community and kind of looking to further the education services, stuff like that. So how does the intake work? What kind of program do you guys have? And then where do the funds go? So suppose you want to donate to Planned Parenthood.
So we are really 40% of our services is from private donations.
Really?
And from philanthropy. Our medical services, really just the price you pay to go to us, is a little discounted of what you'd pay to go to a private provider. And it really just keeps our health centers open. The rest of our services, like our education program, is really run by the funds we raise.
Wow. Interesting. So outside of the person that you mentioned that's kind of primary educator, kind of what other services outside of kind of clinical services and education, like what other ways you kind of getting the word out? You mentioned kind
so
of
we
mission.
Also have an advocacy team.
Okay.
And so that really supports the programs we do, and they work with Gen X chapters at Davidson College, Johnson C. Smith, UNCC. So she runs the programs on the college campuses that educate college campus students about what we do.
So is there, it sounds like based on both of your personal experience and kind of the programming and kind of schools and stuff like that, you guys are kind of looking to get the word out for younger folks. Is there, well, you mentioned kind of still going and things like that. So what, is that a particular focus area of you guys? Kind of how do you think about kind of the right time to make your services known?
So absolutely. Our donor base is usually older women like myself,
right?
People that have used Planned Parenthood. You know, Planned Parenthood's been around for a while, and it was been very popular, and it's really spreading the word and getting younger people also aware of our services, that we're there for them. They can come to us. We are open every Saturday. We're open two nights a week. We have flexible hours. You can do walk-in appointments. We have online scheduling. We have a 24-hour chat line. We meet our patients where they are. We have a lot of, if you go to the number one app, is the Spot On, which is a period tracker app that's run by Planned Parenthood. So we
that's
have
something
a lot
I didn't know either.
That's
a number,
wait. I'm sorry, that's the number one app?
It is. It was.
Wow. In your face, Facebook Messenger. well, that's very cool. Is there anything, so you guys represent Planned Parenthood South Atlantic. I'm always interested when we have organizations like you guys on that are you guys a chapter? Is that the right way to say it, of a national organization?
Affiliate.
Yeah. Okay. So affiliate programs are this national one. Is there anything particular about the South Atlantic region? How do you guys coordinate with broader organization? And I'm always interested to see if there's anything weird or different. Not weird. That's probably the wrong word to
use.
Do
you have like an org chart John can look at?
Yeah, I love that.
So I can break it down easily for you. So there's Planned Parenthood Federation of America, which is our parent organization. And then across the country, all the providers are affiliates.
Okay.
So the national organization doesn't actually have providers.
Okay.
They supply accreditation, education, all of our tools, the websites. So we are an affiliate, and we happen to be one of the larger affiliates in the country.
Really?
So we're a four state affiliate, and we have 14 health centers in the four states, 9 of which are in North Carolina.
Wow.
So Dr. Stephanie Jones, being in the Charlotte, how many people work for the Charlotte chapter or affiliate?
There is myself as like the primary clinician, and then there's two PRN clinicians that will fill in like on the weekends or when I'm off. We have an office manager, and we have 5 health center assistants that do the intake, take the insurance, file the insurance, who work the patients up, ask them the questions, draw their blood, take their vital signs, and do that.
And gotcha. And it seems like both of you've selected to work for Planned Parenthood is because it's personally been something that's been part of your life. Is that something that kind of rings true throughout the organization? These are people who choose to work for it because they're passionate about the mission and been helped by it.
Definitely. We believe in reproductive health services and the right for women to make the choices for their bodies that are right for them. So yeah, we all have the same, and our mission is care no matter what. And I think we all strongly stand behind that mission. We provide care, non-judgmental care, no matter what your circumstances.
Yeah, and I'm glad you touched on like that part of it, because too often Planned Parenthood is a political punching bag. I think that's the obvious thing that we don't even need to touch on this podcast, because it is what it is. My question is does that, all the services you've described so far have been things that do not seem political to me at all. Has that kind of had a trickle-down effect to affect the way your business is done or anything, the kind of the national conversation?
I think, well, our patients come in not for political reasons. They come in because they want care.
Yeah, right.
And I think the background noise that we have, nationally going on, I mean, sometimes it does, we do worry about, is our right to provide care going to be taken away? Is this going to impact our patients that we, see? And so, I mean, that background noise is there, but we try to focus on why we're doing what we're doing, and that's the patient.
Yeah. Marcy, do you find that you kind of run into that background noise a little bit more in your job of fundraising?
I do, but as Stephanie said, people don't come to us to make a political statement.
Yeah.
They come because they need essential health care. And I will tell you, one of the most touching moments for me in my years at Planned Parenthood was right after the last presidential election. And if I'm allowed to say this, but Hillary did not win. And I think people were really surprised. And I came into the office and there was a line. And we don't ever have a line. We have a waiting room. But there was a line out the door of patients. And it was men, women. There was a woman carrying 2 car seats. And they were just standing there. And I was like in shock. And I went up to this one woman and I said, "What are you doing here? What's going on?" And these people were there. She said, "Well, I had my car being fixed, but I had to come here because I was so afraid I wasn't going to get health care."
Huh.
People for days were lined up because they thought they were going to lose their health care. And it was very touching to us, to all of us who worked there. And I think it made us work harder.
Yeah, and as you describe, you have populations you're working with, whether it's undocumented, people who are going through, you know, transgender things. It's populations that maybe a traditional place, they don't feel comfortable going or can't go. There's definitely a need for people to help. Or what are ways that people can become part of the Planned Parenthood, can support what you're doing?
Well, of course, donate.
Donate.
But they can volunteer.
Marcy, if you send me a link, I'll put it in the show notes.
They can volunteer. We do use volunteers for many different things. They can't work in the health center as a volunteer, but they can volunteer in our other activities.
And one thing that I thought was really awesome is, especially after the last election, we started getting women who, you know, had GYN doctors that they normally saw, but they're like, I want my money to go towards you, so I'm going to come to you for my well-woman exam. I'm going to come to you to put in my IUD. I'm going to come to you to, you know, get my birth control because I want, that's how I can support you. So that was really awesome.
Very cool.
And you have some, and also there's ways people can get involved. There's some upcoming events.
Yes. So you've got one particular event.
So we have a really fun event that's called Condom Couture. That's February 9th. It's at the Fillmore. And this event started because we wanted to raise awareness among younger people about safe sex. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
Nice.
So we use 100% local designers. We have 21 local designers who have to use a minimum of 1,000 condoms.
Oh, a minimum. Interesting.
A minimum of 1,000 condoms. And many use more to create outfits. And this year, our theme is Carnival.
Oh, wow.
And last year, we had about 800 people. This year, we'll have probably over 1,000. Wow. I think we'll sell out.
How can people find out more information?
They can go to condomcouturect.org, and we have an Instagram or Facebook.
Nice. And one thing John wanted me to ask, what's the dress code?
Anything. Tell him he can just wear a condom. We just want you to be covered.
Fair enough.
Well, you guys are officially off the hot seat. You're now on the rapid fire seat. So I don't know if this is the part you can't prepare for, because I don't think anyone other than myself have seen these questions.
Okay.
So I'll ask. You both get to answer. I'll start with you, Dr. Stephanie Jones. Okay. Does it get old yet?
No, I love it. Right. Keep it coming.
What do you think John's favorite color is?
Blue.
Marcy, what do you think?
Orange.
Interesting. John, answers?
Blue.
This one. Should Charlotte, Marcy, should Charlotte have a statue of Grandmama uptown?
Ha ha. No.
No?
Stephanie. Should I be embarrassed if I don't know who that is?
Okay. Do you remember, all right, how much do you know about the old Hornets?
Not much.
Okay, so there's this player named Larry Johnson. He had like
I know him.
Yeah, yeah. So he had a whole sneaker commercial where he dressed as a grandmother to sell
dunking
grandmother.
Okay, I think I've seen that.
Rather than certain other sports figures having statues uptown, we think it'd be great to have Grandmama as a statue uptown.
Sure, right. Why not?
Yes.
Perfect. That is the correct.
52-0.
Stephanie, streetcar, lime bike, or light rail?
Light rail.
Marcy?
Streetcar.
You know.
John likes that answer. Marcy, what's a hobby you've always wanted to try but never had time? Stephanie, do you have one?
Skateboarding.
Skateboarding, then hip hop dance. These are the coolest guests ever.
I don't have any rhythm though, so I don't think it'll go very well.
So when I was at Clemson, I was a grad assistant for the fitness classes.
Humble brag.
Yes, huge humble brag. So I had to have a group excert, and I had to go to all the classes to evaluate instructors. And I went to like a hip hop class and like a Zumba class and pulled a hip flexor.
Oh, my gosh. That is the whitest thing I've ever heard.
Gotta make sure
the
you
shoe fits. Stephanie, what's the best sandwich in Uptown?
In Uptown?
Or in Charlotte. Just go with your favorite sandwich. Marcy, do you have one?
Oh, I actually do.
Oh.
But it's not in Uptown. It's Stacy's Deli. Her French dip sandwich is amazing.
I like the veggie sandwich at Laurel Market.
Nice. Marcy, is Microsoft PowerPoint underrated, overrated, or appropriately rated?
I don't know. I don't use it.
Okay.
I use it a lot because I just graduated, so I like it.
Oh,
yes. And it's easy to use.
So appropriately rated.
So appropriately rated.
Appropriately rated.
Marcy, you're prepared for this because you are a podcast listener, so I want to go to Stephanie with this question. What is one thing you'd like to see every Charlatan spend more time doing? You were ready. Marcy just fist pumped just to let you know. She did her prep work.
I love health promotion and disease prevention, so I'm going to say exercise.
Nice. Marcy?
I was going to say walk more.
Great. Both good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We'll link to everything in the show notes on the website. We really, really appreciate you, and really keep up the great work. personally, I know that there, I can say that this is not speaking on behalf of the Charlotte podcast, but I know that there are a lot of issues and a lot of things that may distract people from your true mission. But I think it is what you guys are doing is truly noble and incredible for the Charlotte community.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us on.
Thanks for having us.
Great interview.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. I learned so much.
I learned a ton too.
Yeah, I think I was like keeping track, and at some point I just stopped marking down things that I learned. Like the fact that that app was the number one.
I know. That blew my mind.
By the way, that Facebook Messenger joke, quality. Really, oh, thanks, really man. Good. it cracked me up. And then you learned a lot from what they're saying. And then also like the fact they do men's health. Incredible.
Yeah.
Like things I would not have.
On my list of things I didn't realize.
John, I did not know. I know that there is an MLK Street in Charlotte, but
yeah.
Our history is he has a couple of interesting connections here. A
couple other more connections for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And the city of Charlotte. So you mentioned the street, but here's some things you may not know about. So in 1960, as he was gaining national prominence, Dr. King visited Johnson C. Smith University, or kind of was the guest of the university, and spoke at what is now the Grady Cole Center, which at the time was called the Park Center. So there's 2,700 people, which I believe is capacity, came out.
I am sure it is capacity.
Yeah, I was like, it can't be any bigger than that.
There's no
right?
way. I'm shocked that many people fit in the Grady Cole Center.
Exactly. Yeah, the fire marshal was more lenient in 1960.
Actually, they weren't.
No. So, so he came just weeks after Charlotte integrated its restaurants, following months of the tense lunch counter sit-ins that I know we've mentioned a couple times in past history segments. So local activist Charles Jones was there, mm-hmm. and led the local student effort to for the sit-ins, and got to meet and hang out with Dr. King. And then they were later arrested together in Albany, Georgia. So that's another kind of Charles Jones was another connection to MLK. So the second connection is a little sad and morbid, but it's interesting. In the spring of 1968, Dr. King was scheduled to be in Charlotte on April 4th of 1968. There's a letter at the UNC Charlotte archives that from Dr. King to local civil rights activist Reginald Hawkins, who we've talked about for a while on the podcast, and he wrote to cancel his visit to Charlotte and decided to stay in Memphis, Tennessee, to help with the local sanitation worker strike. So if that date sounds like you've heard it before, April 4th, 1968, that's because that's the day Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. So he was originally scheduled to be in Charlotte for a speaking engagement. And were it not for the sanitation workers' strike, he would have been in Charlotte. So interesting factoid there.
Yes.
And then finally, we mentioned the street, Martin Luther King Jr. Drive in Uptown, but there's also a statue of Dr. King in Marshall Park.
It sounds awesome.
It's great that we have honored such a great man with a statue in a prominent park. So the monument was unveiled on April 5th, 1980 in Marshall Park. 3,000 people came out as the cloth was removed and the statue was presented to the crowd. Reverend Martin Luther King Sr., Governor Jim Hunt, and the sculptor Selma Burke were all in attendance and addressed the crowd during the ceremony. Now, that's good news. If you've seen the statue, you'll know that it's a little awkward looking. He's not in
a natural position.
No, it's not. So it's great that the statue exists. It should exist. It's great that it's in Marshall Park. But we're not the only ones who have noticed that this is a somewhat awkward looking statue. In fact, it has been named the world's worst Martin Luther King statue, according to journalist Jerry Bledsoe's 1984 book, North Carolina Curiosities.
I'm very interested in like how he went. Like, what's his algorithm and ranking?
Oh yeah, we need to dig into that and understand kind of the
Jerry,
criteria.
Reach
yeah.
out. Yeah, yeah. It's we the Charlotte Podcast at gmail.com. Send us your logo that you want us to change it to.
That's right.
And then
you got some homework, Jerry. Yeah. So So he kind of like calls out the hand gesture that MLK is making in the statue, which has been likened to Darth Vader's like using the Force chokehold or checking for rain. and then the statue itself, he's kind of stepping up, which I imagine is meant to convey kind of like onward and upward and the future, things like that. But the step that he's stepping towards kind of ends abruptly. So it's like, oh no, watch your step, you're going to fall. So,
so what you're telling me,
yes,
a park that really doesn't have a purpose has a pretty bad statue.
Yeah, I mean, Charlotte in the 80s, there's a lot of things that perhaps we would change knowing what we know now. So with that, we'll talk about some positive things with our buddy Supportive Words and the supportive words from Supportive Guy. These words were written and submitted by our favorite internet personality, Supportive Guy, and have not been read, reviewed, or curated by us. That's right. This pure positivity is coming right from the delightful quill of an anonymous Twitter account that encompasses everything right in the world. So as always, sit back, relax, and sip a delightful cup of chamomile tea as you listen to the supportive words from Supportive Guy.
Greetings and salutations, dear listeners. I hope today finds you visualizing your own success and then having it quickly become a reality as if you were Tony Robo of your own goals. I feel like it's time for Supportive Words Classic Formula, where the goal is to provide support and affirmation to you, the listener. Here goes. You are as precious as the Hope Diamond and as hopeful as Lou Diamond Phillips. I read an article that recently stated that Lou Diamond Phillips is very optimistic. Lou Diamond Phillips played Richie Valens in the movie La Bamba, who once flew a plane with Buddy Holly, who was once portrayed as by Gary Busey, who had a guest performance on the show Entourage, widely considered the greatest work of art of all time and something everyone is familiar with. That's only 6 degrees of separation from the Hope Diamond to you. Like I said, precious. Have the best week of your ever-loving life and be sure to take time to bask in your immense value this week. We have a special guest, John, and you have a quick question for him.
Hey, who is your favorite basketball team?
Hornets.
And who's your favorite player?
Kimball Walker.
Great. Ready to count down with us? 3, 2, 1. Woo!
Too much cooler than your dad.